Hello and welcome to the Idaho Reports podcast. I'm Logan Finney. It has been a whirlwind 3 months over the course of the legislative session, and for observers across the state, sometimes that action is a little difficult to keep up with. Joining me this week to discuss those issues and possible transparency reforms we could see at the Idaho Legislature is Jason Mercier, Vice President at Mountain States Policy Center. Jason, thanks for joining us.
Logan, it's great to be on with you, and I'm really happy to talk about opportunities to improve citizen access to the legislative process, because I think there's some reforms we could take advantage of going forward.
Yeah, before we dig into those reforms, let's orient this conversation. Remind me, who are you at Mountain States Policy Center? What sort of work do you do? And how long have you guys been on the scene here in Idaho?
Yeah, so Mountain States Policy Center is kind of the new kid on the block. We're entering our second year, and we're a little unique amongst the kind of policy groups across the country because we are a regional think tank. So we focus on multiple states, and our states that we really highlight a lot are Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and Washington. And that's kind of where we get our mountain states symbol from, because those states all have the mountainous regions in them. And when you're looking at a regional perspective, it allows you to kind of really take advantage of that federalist system that we're in of no idea is new under the sun. So we can see where things have worked, where they don't work, and how states can really take advantage of the best practices out there to improve government services, fiscal responsibility, and the overall investment the taxpayers are receiving for the tax dollars.
One of those perks of our federal system too is each of the 50 states gets to be, I think the phrase I've heard is, its own little petri dish of democracy. We get 50 different ways to do things. What stood out to you most as an observer of this 2024 Idaho legislative session?
So on the transparency front, there is good and bad as there is in every state. But you know, I mentioned that we track 4 state legislative processes. So we're tracking the legislature in Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and Washington. And unfortunately, Idaho was the most difficult to find out ahead of time what was on the agenda. So what we're talking about is the advanced public notices of the hearings, what bills are under consideration, you know, the ability to participate in those. Because if you think about this is a citizen-driven legislative process. You're busy going to school, you're busy taking care of your family, you're busy running your business. So if you don't have that advance notice, it's really hard to engage in that legislative process. Once action has actually been taken, like once the bill has been heard, once the bill has been voted on, there are a lot of good transparency resources on the legislative website to find out about that. Just not a lot up beforehand where you actually want to have that citizen involved.
So here in Idaho, we do have a pretty strong open meetings law that means that public bodies have to conduct their work in public. But that doesn't completely apply to the legislature. They don't have to follow the, for example, the 48 agenda requirement that something like a city council or a county commission has to follow. What sort of recommendations does Mountain State Policy Center have to improve that transparency on the front end?
Yeah, and that's not unique to Idaho. Most state legislatures do not subject themselves to the Open Public Meeting Acts that other cities and counties have to follow. And there's actually been some fights in states about whether or not they're subject to the public records law, but that's a conversation for another day. But even with that exemption that they have, what we have noticed in the other states that we track and nationally, there's the best practice of advanced public notice. So an example I will give you is in neighboring Washington state. They are required underneath their legislative rules to give 5-day notice of a public hearing. So you know 5 days in advance if a committee is going to hold a hearing and what is on that agenda. And the whole purpose of that is now I know as a citizen, should I pay attention to what's happening? Is there a bill under consideration that I want to comment on? And coupled with that, then obviously is the, you know, when you're talking about the mountain states, these are very large geographic states. They, especially with the mountains, it's hard to get across in the wintertime, unfortunately, when legislative sessions happen. So a standard best practice in most of the states is remote testimony across the board, not just at the discretion of a chair. So that's a little bit of a contrast what we've seen in those other states. What was interesting about this session with Idaho in trying to track what was happening, it was very hard to even sign up for the committee agendas. So let me give you an example out of Wyoming. Of the 4 states that we track, Wyoming is actually the easiest to sign up. You go to one website and you can just check a box for every committee, every county, every city, every government agency, and you will get updates on what they're doing in advance. In Idaho, you have to go committee by committee, and then you may or may not be getting updates until the day of the hearing. So, you know, unless it comes to mind that old Metallica song, you know, Sleep With One Eye Open, you kind of have to do that to know what's going to be happening that day in the legislative process tonight.
I know many of us in the press corps kind of have a nightly rhythm that we get into during session of we wait until it gets real late in the evening to check what the agendas are going to be for the following morning. Because you're right, Jason, there sometimes is hardly any notice of what's going to be up for debate in these meetings.
And I know the argument that you often hear is this is a part-time citizen legislature, and they don't want to be there longer than they have to be. And if you build in these requirements for advanced public notice, for posting bills in advance, it can slow the process down. But again, this is a citizen-driven process. We're doing this because we want the citizens engaged in their governance. And if we can't even give them a 72-hour window of when bills are going to be heard and what bills are going to be heard, it's just really hard for them to engage. And again, most of the committees were providing remote testimony, but it's not a standard thing. And unfortunately, the big one you want, the tax committee, that's the one that doesn't.
Yeah, that kind of got some attention this year. It drew out the fact that each committee chair has a bit of discretion for how they run their committee. And up until this point, this has included the remote testimony. The very fact that we have remote testimony is still kind of new and still, I think, partly a feature of the pandemic, in that the legislature had tried some pilot programs for offering remote testimony in one or two committees. And that was when I was still a student at the University of Idaho. And it was really the advent of the pandemic and everyone becoming familiar with Zoom so quickly during that time was kind of a silver lining. But yeah, the Revenue and Taxation Committee this year was notable in that they did not take any remote testimony. And there was actually a lot of public lobbying on that committee chair when that school choice tax credit bill was up for consideration. And they got some attention for not allowing remote testimony in that one.
And not to pick on that committee or on that particular bill, but I think that was a pretty good example of what the issue is. There was little notice that hearing was going to occur. There wasn't a remote testimony offered. We know it was an issue that a lot of citizens cared about. So on very short notice, people across Idaho had to drive to Boise in the hopes that they would be able to provide remote comment to testify. And for most part, they all got to have their say in there. But I think the contrast on that is even if you have a requirement for remote testimony, and I'll give you an example again out of Washington State, that's not a guarantee you're going to get to testify. Every chair always has a discretion, even if you're there in the Capitol building, in the hearing room, who they're going to call and how much time they're going to give them. So we're not saying that a chair or a committee has to hear from every single person who signs up for this. They have to give us all a certain amount of time, but we should have the option, just the ability to do that, know that there's a possibility we could be called. And I think that's just the benefit given to citizens when you have remote testimony standard, when you have advanced notification requirement standard, is give us a chance to plan our day around what you're doing as lawmakers so that we have a, whether or not you hear from us, we have at least a chance.
And what about on the forward-facing side? Once a vote has already been taken, or once a bill has made it through committee or moved from one reading calendar to the next on the floor, what about keeping track of legislation that's in play?
Yeah, so if you're willing to be patient for a day after action happens, you can get that. You can go to the legislative website, you can sign up for the bills that you're interested in, and each day you'll get a wrap-up of where it is in the proceedings and what has happened on that. If you actually go to the legislative bill pages, those will be updated after the fact. But again, that's a little bit of delay period. And when you think about how we have instant access to information, it can be done in real time. And I'll give you a couple of examples. Again, I hate to keep going back to Washington and Wyoming, but again, there are states that we track, so we can have this contrast with Idaho. But you will have that real-time roll call on the legislative page. You can see immediately what the roll call is in a committee vote, who voted which way, and you don't have to wait for that 24 hours to be posted. And while that's important is because unless you were physically watching floor action, you don't know until later in the day what has happened. I'm going to give you an example of this. One of the bills we were tracking was the unemployment insurance tax cut, 20% reduction. I got a press release from Governor Little praising the bill's passage. But because I was busy and not watching floor action that day, I had no idea it passed. So there was no update on the legislative website. So I actually said, I'm going to trust the governor. I'm sure he wouldn't put out a press release if it didn't happen. But I still need to contact a lawmaker, say, hey, did this vote actually occur? Because there's no details on the legislative website.
In the other states that you track, is this a matter of they just have like different software vendors for the systems they're using? Is there any particular detail that if an Idaho lawmaker or legislative staffer was interested in pursuing this sort of stuff, is there a particular place they should start?
Well, I think that the fact that Wyoming is the easiest to track, the smallest, and I would say probably not the tech hub of the United States, it's not a technology issue. I think it's just a will issue to make the information available. So what will happen, for example, in Washington State, you can sign up by the bill like you can in Idaho. And because they did that 5-day notice, you're going to get advance notice ahead of time where it is, if there's been amendments to it. They actually have on these email updates the ability to sign up directly to provide written comment or no testimony comment. If you go to the legislative website, you'll get that real-time roll call. Now, one thing that Idaho does have, they'll have the Senate and the House calendars, so you can at least see what's happening. What the other states will have is an order of consideration, so you actually see what bill is going to be heard at what time. So again, just provides you the ability to plan your day around the legislative day. So if you're interested, you have the chance to track it. And I don't want to sound like I'm beating up on Idaho, because again, there are some amazing things that are happening after the fact that you can get the information to. We're just talking about beforehand, when the citizens still have an opportunity to provide the input. That's where you want to provide more of that advance notice. But you know, one thing that I think Idaho is a model for that we'd like to see some of the other states do is on some of the budget process, some of the stuff that JFAC is doing. Some of the stuff that the controller has out there with the Transparent Idaho, you know, the amount of information that's available in real time on the legislative budget website right after JFAC meets, you have access to the same information the lawmakers have. And that doesn't occur in other states. So that's a positive that Idaho has going for.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about that. The Budgeting Committee, the Joint Finance and Appropriations Committee. How different from other states is that process? We hear it all the time at the State House, but you're the one actually looking at multiple state capitals, unlike I am.
It is very different, and it's actually kind of exciting where it could be going. So in other states, the way that budget process works is it's almost kind of like waiting for the white smoke to raise from the budget committee that we have a budget and you'll maybe get some details before we have a public hearing on it. These are usually all done behind closed doors. The budget writers meets amongst themselves, and then there'll be an announcement. We have an omnibus agreement, hundreds of pages of appropriations, and you'll have a day to read it before we vote on it. Not a very transparent process. With the JFAC process, every single day in public, you're getting to see the budget debate. You're getting to see the same information budget writers have, you have access to. And that's very unique. And I know that there were some hiccups this year with the new process as they were transitioning to doing the maintenance and operation up front and then the policy add-ons later. And there's some recommendations we would have around how to improve that process. But doing the budget publicly in real time is very unique. It's a great transparent resource provided to citizens, and it's actually providing the building blocks eventually to go to performance-based budgeting, which is where you ultimately want to see this, right? Because we're not investing our tax dollars to spend money. We're doing it for an outcome, and this will allow Idaho to track whether or not those outcomes are being achieved.
We've talked about a good range of transparency reforms here today. Is there anything you think would be a particularly low-hanging fruit that would be really beneficial to the citizens who are involved and want to be involved in Idaho's legislature?
I think the easiest thing to do, at least for the public, and I know it's going to be new and challenging for chairs and for the lawmaker, would be what we're calling our rule of three, a 72-hour, a 3-day notice of when a committee is going to meet and what bills are under consideration. Because even 3 days, you know, I mentioned Washington is 5 days, some states actually do 7 days. We think 3 days is a pretty good way to look at this, knowing that it's a part-time citizen legislature, so that citizens can at least plan out, hey, do I need to get time off of school? Do I need to arrange daycare for my kids? Do I need to adjust my work schedule because this issue is really important to me? I don't think it's asking a lot, especially realizing that there isn't a fixed end date in Idaho. You know, you have a fixed start date, not end date. So it would take a little bit of effort to try to plan session around it, that notice requirement. But again, this is a citizen-driven process. It's for the citizens. We should allow them a chance to know what's happening.
All right. Jason Mercier, Vice President at the Mountain States Policy Center. Thanks for sharing your perspective this week.
Thanks, Logan. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Presentation of Idaho Reports on Idaho Public Television is made possible through the generous support of the Laura Moore Cunningham Foundation, committed to fulfilling the Moore and Bettis family legacy of building the great state of Idaho, by the Friends of Idaho Public Television, and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support for Idaho Public Television comes from the School of Public Service at Boise State University, providing objective and impactful research for Idaho and beyond, and academic programs with hands-on learning that equip students to be effective public service leaders.